This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. It's that day we call Your Money Matters. Hey, these days, every day your money matters right now.
Every day.
Especially at the gas pump, right, Kurt?
Yeah. Everywhere, as a matter of fact.
Well, welcome to the show. Our show is brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage, your one-stop shop for all of your mortgage needs. Yes, all these years, they have continued to be your one-stop shop.
Hey, you just showed me a picture. I don't know how old that picture is. What is it, about 6, 8 years?
Yeah, about 2017, maybe 18, something like that.
I was a little chunky then.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
We were bigger boned, yeah.
Yeah, the wrinkles in the face were there.
I know, yeah, both of us, man.
Yeah, and you have a great tan.
Yep. It
goes well with that gray hair.
Yeah, it sure does. It sure does. Well, how things going, man?
I can't complain, you know. I wish we'd get more rain. I think it's important. Other than that, there's other parts of the country that are getting beat up pretty bad.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're doing okay.
Yep. Again, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500 is the number. If this is the first time you've joined us, welcome. We're here every week at this time with Kurt just to talk about all things mortgages. Any kind of update just through the week you want to talk about before we get into things?
No, you know, rates right now are kind of up and down.
Okay.
You know, 1 minute they drop a quarter to half a point. They're down under 6 and they're back up above 6. So, and you know, other than that, that's everybody talks about rates.
I know.
What's the rate? Well, tomorrow it's going to be different than today.
Yep. Well, we're going to jump into that then because you're right. It has been a roller coaster. So when people talk about what determines the rate and what's causing this roller coaster, help us out.
Well, there's two things that figure into your mortgage rate. The first one's called the 10-year bond market, mortgage-backed securities. And that's all determined by the strength of the dollar. As the dollar's stronger, the 10-year bond market will lower, which is what banks borrow money against to sell you on mortgages. So the people that are buying the bonds are actually insuring your mortgage. So the rates are going down. The Fed's fund rate is more controlled by inflation and jobs. So, you know, if our unemployment is running at 4.5, 4.6, and inflation's running at 3, they got to be careful. They want to lower the rates.
Mm-hmm.
If inflation starts going up, they want to raise the rates. So there's a couple of different factors that come into play on that. The main one is that the 10-year bond market is what affects it. So if you're out looking, one of the things I tell people when they call me up and say, I'm going to go looking for a home or I want to refinance, have an idea where you want to be. What's the rate that you currently see, and is that a rate that payment would work for you? You're going to continue to see rates go up and down, but understand one thing. The housing market affects the economy in so many more ways.
Right.
And the government cannot afford to let the housing economy get weak.
Mm-hmm.
Because the housing jobs, all the people that the jobs that it has, when you buy or refinance your home, you're going to spend money at stores, you're going to upgrade your homes, you're going to do things. It's lending, it's financial stability, and it's a confidence of home ownership. So when the housing market is strong like it was a couple of years ago, economy is strong.
Right.
It starts to weaken, and that's actually it's turned the market from a seller's market to a buyer's market.
And I tell you, you see a lot of growth in certain areas around. I mean, they're building houses everywhere. Out near Sedalia is huge, out towards the airport, you know. I mean, construction is going crazy.
They talk about housing affordability. I mean, there's homes out there that's trying to make them all fit into a budget. But we still don't have enough homes. There's more people that want homes than what we're able to produce. And like you said, you're seeing them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They just keep building them. And the multiplex, you know, all the apartment complexes, condos,
right,
and townhomes.
Right.
They're just, all of a sudden, 1 minute, there they are.
I know.
Hello.
So, all right, a few questions here. So whether somebody's in the market to purchase a new home or to refinance their current property, what questions should they be asking you?
if you're thinking about buying a home or you're thinking about refinancing, if you already own a home, you have an idea how this works, but ask yourself, where do I want my payments to be? How do I get to that payment? What can I afford? Now, there are people that can afford a whole lot more, but they won't buy it. That's smart. Don't become mortgage poor to where you're only working to make the mortgage payment and you don't get to enjoy anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, that gives you the, with the, like I said, being a buyer's market, that works. I understand what goes into your payment. It's called PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. So when you're looking at calculators or looking at a payment, you might be looking at a payment of $2,300. Does that include taxes and insurance? When you're looking at properties or refinancing your home, what are your taxes done to your payment? What's your homeowner's insurance does? Are there ways to control that? Understand what goes into your total mortgage payment. And then in some cases, you have HOA. So all of that factors in. So what portion fits your income best? Let's say you make $80,000 a year. That's $6,700 a month. If you want 35% of what you make monthly, that's a payment of $2,345. What will $2,345 buy? If you want to go to 45%, it's $3,000 a month. So understanding how your payment works helps you find the home or the loan amount you want when you're buying or refinancing a home.
Right. And I think, is that something you have to warn people about sometimes when maybe they get approved for a certain amount? Is, hey, don't use all of this. Just to, and depending on their income and their debt.
I try to explain that to them when you're figuring a payment. So I've had a couple first-time home buyers, and they come to me, and they say, I want to buy the home. Some of my questions is, how much are you looking at putting down, and where do you want your payments? Well, I'm paying rent right now with $1,750, they'll say, or $2,000. I don't want it to go much higher. I'm saying, well, understand what's in that $2,000. You have to back out a couple things, and mm-hmm. that's what buys the home. The rest of the stuff is taxes and insurance. So it takes some people longer. If you own a home, you understand it pretty quick.
Right.
So you know what's going on.
Right. So when we get into interest rates and APR, is that confusing to people?
Yes. Okay. Most people don't, when they say, well, I saw this rate on TV at 4.75. I said, did you see the APR? Well, I don't know what that is. Well, that's that other figure that you're really paying for the home. Mm-hmm. APR is classified as third-party fees, the cost of doing the loan. What goes into the interest rate for you to get from the lender is your FICO score, the loan-to-value. These are what affect your interest rate, your FICO score, your loan-to-value, the type of property you're buying, whether it's a condo, a townhome, a duplex, single-family home. They all have different liabilities to the lender, different risks to the lender, so they adjust the rate. Occupancy. Are you going to live in it as a primary, or is it going to be an investment property? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be a second home? All those things affect the interest rate. So when you say, you call somebody up and say, I got a 740 FICO score and I'm going to put 20% down, what's my rate? Well, we got a couple other questions to deal with. What are you buying? And just the FICO score you may see might not be the same one I see. What's the term of the loan? What's the type of the loan? Is it an FHA? Is it a VA? Is it a conventional? Is it a alternative loan? Is it like a bank statement loan? So you're self-employed and you write everything off so you don't prove much income. You can still get a loan. So there's a lot of variables that come in to get that rate.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's hard to kind of quote sometimes.
Is generally the rate going to be higher if you're not going to live there?
The risk is higher. When the rates go up, the lenders are telling you that the risk on that loan has a higher probability of defaulting. Investment properties default quicker than owner-occupied. Condos default quicker than single families. These are just statistics. Mm. So that's why there's extra charges. Higher loan-to-values. We go back to the 80s when we had the mortgage meltdown. Right. There were a lot of loans for folks with a 600 credit score that were getting 100% financing. Those are high-risk clients. But they were still getting 3% and 4% because that's what the banks wanted to bundle those rates at.
Mm-hmm.
That in turn caused a lot of foreclosures, which in turn caused part of the mortgage meltdown.
Right.
So having participation from you will help you lower your rates.
Kurt Rogers with us, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. All right, FICO score is what you started out with when you say the rate is determined by many factors. FICO score. I think credit, I know we've talked about this for years, but still I run across people that don't understand credit, credit reports, and FICO scores, and how the all three reports are going to be different from the credit bureaus and all that, right?
First thing about credit reports, and every time we talk about it, I'm going to tell you the same thing. Go into optoutprescreen.com and opt yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
Because the minute you apply for something and someone runs your credit, if you don't do that, they're going to sell that information to anybody that wants it to pick up the phone and call you. So when you apply for a car loan, if you're not opted out, you're going to get 30, 40 phone calls. You apply for a mortgage, you're going to get 30 or 40 phone calls. This way it prevents them from selling that information to have potential people come to you and buy. What goes into your FICO score is a couple main things. How you pay your bills. Do you pay them on time? Do you pay them on the 1st of the month, the 15th, on the 29th? How do you pay your bills? What's your credit depth? What do you have? There's three different types. There's installment loans, which are normally like boats or cars. There's a mortgage loan, and then there's credit card loans. If you're applying for a credit card and you run a bureau, it's going to be different than if you're applying for a mortgage and run a bureau. Those scores are going to be different, because the algorithms for what my lenders need are different than what credit card companies need.
Right.
But to have a good score, you need to have all three. I have a client right now, great people, make good income, solid money in the bank, everything's for them. They have absolutely no credit. And the reason, many people will tell you, is I don't want to pay 21%. Well, the problem with not wanting to pay 21% on a $1,000 credit card or $2,000 credit card versus paying 0.5% or 1% more
because
on a
you don't
mortgage
have credit, right?
Is thousands of dollars. If easiest way to get a credit score and get your numbers up there is get a couple of credit cards and maybe one installment loan to start with before you buy a house. And then when you have that, borrow money against a credit card, pay it off in the same month. Even if it's only $50, pay it off.
Mm-hmm.
It shows you know. Then 1 month, let it run up a month or two and maybe pay $10 in interest. Then pay it off. You're going to move your credit score up to be a 740, 760. Then you have going to get the best rates that are out there.
Would it take a year probably that they would want to see that?
It's
6 months is
6 months
short,
to a year to start. Yeah. You've got to have one of the things about your credit score and the lenders look at. They want to see two-year history. They want to see that you have credit for 2 years. So if all you can get is credit cards, take it.
Right.
Don't get 17 of them. Get three at the most.
Right.
I've seen people with 17, and they owe money to all of them.
And sometimes you can do these cards where, you know, you put $1,000 up, they give you a card with $1,000.
Yep.
I mean, I've seen young
people
start.
They'll run it against
your
account, your bank. If mm-hmm. you can't get one normally, go to your bank, and they'll give you one that's tied to your account. And this way it starts the process. In order for a bank, you're asking a lender, if you're looking at a mortgage, to loan you $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 when they can't see that you've paid back $500.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big risk. That's why it's higher and they charge you more.
Right.
Not because they want to. It's because, again, the probability of that home being foreclosed is higher than with somebody with a credit history.
And, man, just a few points with these scores either way can, like you said, can mean thousands of dollars.
And you could have a 717 credit score, and if you get it up to a 720, you saved yourself $3,000. 3 points. It's easy to move your credit score 3 points. I can show you how to do that. That's simple.
Mm-hmm.
It'd take you a week. But you don't know that unless you test it, unless you understand what you have. You can go out and get free credit report. I think it's freecreditreport.com and pull a credit report. Now, don't look at the score because it's fictitious.
Right.
But look at what your credit says. Does it show you with any lates? Does it show you with what they call trended data, which tells when you make your payment on your card or your installment?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can look at it, you can start to see a pattern that you're developing. Keep the pattern. Borrow money against a credit card, keep it for a month, and turn around and pay it off.
Yep.
Pay it down, then pay it off. Show them you know how to make payments. If you can't show them you know how to make payments, they're not going to want to loan you money.
Mm-hmm. Kurt Rogers with us, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We'll be right back.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you've been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. What that really means from a jurist perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about six people that you don't know. Those six people view the evidence and make a unanimous decision that will decide what the fair value is. When you're the one who's hurt, you have a good idea of what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals whom you don't know and were witnesses to believe that's what the case is worth? Kevin Flesch understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886.
Need new glasses fast? With Stack Optical's on-site lab, you'll get your prescription glasses in just 3 to 4 days. No long wait times. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and I've trusted my eye care to Allen Stack and Stack Optical for the last 15 years. Eye exams are only $69, and that should be a part of your physical checkups each year. For over 50 years, Denver has trusted this family-owned boutique eye care center for premium vision care, custom eyewear, and expert repairs. See the Stack Optical difference today. Call 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. And tell them Scott sent you. Stack Optical. Since 1968, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
AM 560, KLZ, your home station.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Scott Watley, along with Kurt Rogers, owner of Affordable Interest Mortgage. 720-895-0500 is the number. Talking about some credit, different things with lenders, and we're going to talk now. What do lenders look for when approving your loan? And you know, Kurt, it's hard to believe, man, COVID was 6 years ago. I mean, just about this time, 6 years ago, is when things started, we're like hearing, you know, getting into the COVID thing. It's hard to believe that's been 6 years.
Yeah.
So my question is, with jobs, did you see a lot of job fluctuation with people, and how does that affect things when you're looking for a loan?
What lenders look for is, it's called stability ability. The legal term for it that came out of the mortgage meltdown was called the ability to repay, ATR. The lenders cannot loan you money unless they can prove with documentation that you have the ability to repay the loan. Because if you understand, your loans are coming from FHA, VA, or Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac.
Right.
That's government money. That's the bond market. So they have some right to give you, you have to do this to make it work. What they want is a two-year history, stability, two-year history of where you've lived. I don't care if it's six places, just a two-year history. Two-year history of where you've worked. Now, if you go from self-employed to W-2, I still need 2 years. I don't need 2 years of W-2. If you go from W-2 to self-employed, I need 2 years of self-employed because of the way you can calculate your income. Then where you stay, you can move from one property to the next property, but no gaps. And I'll go back to employment. If you have a gap of employment, I have a customer right now that was a nurse. She was off for 6 weeks, went to a different hospital, worked there for a year, then took another 6 weeks off. Those are gaps of employment. Now, they're not big enough gaps to cause a problem. You take off 3-4 months. The lender wants to know what was the reason for it. Did you go take care of a parent? Were you in a car accident? Was there an illness? What caused that gap in employment? Again, ability, stability, they're looking for that. If you're in the same kind of work, if you're self-employed in W-2, it must be the same kind of work. If you go from being an engineer to a mechanic, it's okay. As long as you're employed, that's what they're looking for.
Right. Okay.
One last thing.
Yes, sir.
College works.
Okay.
Let me explain how that works. If you're just getting out of college or you've been out of college for a year and you only have a one-year job, I had a customer tell me the other day that they needed a two-year job. I said, no, you don't. You have a four-year degree. Lenders look at that as a job. As long as the job you have comes from college, it's the same. You took a degree in, you're doing that work out here. So if they can see 1 year of employment and what you went to college for, they'll count that as a stability and ability, and you can get a loan approved.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned college, made me think there was so much going back and forth with student loans, and people weren't going to have to pay them back, and then they were going to have to pay them. What does that hurt people? Are there student loans still that they look at?
About 20% of the customers that I see will have student loans. Mm-hmm. Some of them will show a payment. Some of them will show you zero because you have it on a deferred plan. Just because you have it on zero doesn't mean the lender doesn't count it, because eventually you're going to have to make a payment on that.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the lenders look at it is they take 5% of whatever it is. So on $1,000 loan, they're telling you your payment's $50 a month.
Okay.
And that's what they're going to calculate against your debt-to-income ratio.
Right, right.
Even if they're deferred, they still have to count some, because eventually it's an obligation you have to pay unless it gets waived.
Mm-hmm.
But you're applying now, so they have to count the payment.
Sure. All right. Let's get into closing costs a little bit. You know, now it's been a while since I've seen this where they go, oh, no closing costs. Do you still see that some in some advertising, or has that kind of been taken away a little bit?
When they say no closing costs, what they're basically trying to tell you, they're going to pay for them. The costs have to be there. You have to show the consumer what the cost is to do the loan, because that calculates what your APR are. Third-party fees, i.e. appraisal, i.e. title fees, those are what goes into your APR along with points. So they're affecting your APR, so they have to be disclosed. Now, whether you pay for them or not is a different point, but there's closing costs. So they can't say none, no cost to you. And that's even dangerous, because you're still paying for them in the rate.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to pay those fees for nothing. But if you're looking at closing costs, people say, what's your closing cost? I say, well, the average third-party fees in Colorado, it's a national statistic, is $3,500.
Okay.
Well, that's actually pretty cheap when you figure title fees and appraisal fee and underwriting fee. That's pretty inexpensive. That's about $1,000 each. Now, other fees, points, those are going to affect your APR, and those are also part of the APR closing costs. What's not closing costs are taxes and insurance. So when you're buying a home or refinancing a home and you got to pay your taxes up front, that's not part of your closing costs. Because that you're actually paying for the live in the home. It's not a cost to get the loan. It's a cost to own a home.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Right. Have appraisals, I mean, what were they 5 years ago and what are they today? Have they gone up in cost?
They've gone up, but they've gone away. With the computer systems that are out there, many of the loan programs, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they will give you a free appraisal, meaning which they have a thing called AVM, Automated Valuation Method. They understand what homes are selling for in this area on a house you want to finance. So they're looking, and when you say, I've got this 3,000-square-foot house at $700,000 appraised value, and I'm borrowing $500,000, and they look under their AVM, and they say, yeah, there's a lot of homes with that square footage at that price.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want an appraisal. All we want is to drive by at $75, have a nice time. So we're waiving appraisals a lot. I have lenders that are actually paying for appraisals for customers this month. So I did one the other day that all they wanted to do is make sure that the home was there and standing, so they charged $125 for a drive-by. So appraisal fees, even though the cost to do them has gone up from mm-hmm. $450 to $630, $650, a lot of times they get waived or get absorbed into a much smaller fee.
Okay. Again, Kurt Rogers with us. It's Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Tell you what, we've got a couple of minutes left here. Let's touch on down payment just for a minute. When people say, hey, how much do I have to put down? What are a few things you have to ask them to figure out what that might be?
I started with that one is, where are you trying to reach to? What's your payment? I mean, if you're trying to buy a $500,000 home,
mm-hmm.
you want to put down 3%. Understand, you're going to get a first-time home buyer program. You're going to get a great rate. But because you're borrowing more money, it's going to move your payment up, and your debt-to-income ratio could be affected. The minimum down payment in most cases is 3%. Conforming, okay. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and I'm just closing one tomorrow with 3% down. That's all they came up with. They have a very small mortgage insurance payment that goes with it. Everything worked out well with them. But they had the credit score. They had the reserves. Everything about the risk factor of the customer was strong, so they put less down. Now I have another customer that doesn't have as much money, and they're getting down payment assistance. Now here's where you go with first-time home buyer. You can actually, these folks are going to be able to buy the home, and they're only going to bring about $1,000 to the table. They are going to get down payment assistance of 5% on a 3% down loan.
Wow.
Which means we took the down payment, the other 2% pays the closing costs. Mm-hmm. They only have to bring a grand. That doesn't work for everybody, but it worked out real well for them. So there's the minimum down payment is 3%.
Okay.
How you obtain that could be different ways with down payment assistance programs. If you're doing VA, you have no down payment.
Right, and you've got so many lenders that you work with. I mean,
lenders that do loans I don't even know exist. I mean, it's just there's lenders that have different programs out there that will come along. We talked in the past about second mortgage that you never have to make a payment on until mm-hmm. you sell the house. That's one lender that does that.
Right.
Well, that's a nice lender to have when you have somebody that's 55 and want to get a second mortgage.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Kirk can help you out. Affordable Interest Mortgage, your disclosure, sir.
NMLS 217147, regulated by DOR, and we are an equal credit lender.
Kirk's ready to help you. Give him a call, 720-895-0500. When you call, let him know you heard him here on KLZ 560, and we'd appreciate that as well. So, Kirk, thank you very much.
You bet.
We'll be back with more right after this.